This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Donna with Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and this radio broadcast, Raising the Standard. And we welcome you this day as we talk about resurrection. Amen. And
hallelujah.
We'll talk about the Passover as well, how the Passover relates to the Lord's resurrection. Because we know in the Word of God that Yeshua has fulfilled all the prophecies that are written about Him in the Old Testament. And we can see that throughout the Old Testament as well as in the book of Leviticus, which is where we've been reading for our Torah study on Friday nights, if you've been following us, because, you know, it talks about all of the sacrifices. And the one that really touches my heart is the first one. All five of them are very important, especially for me right now, because I need that peace of God that passes all understanding. And there's a peace sacrifice as well. I also want to mention that Pastor Gene is recovering. He's doing well. He's been walking quite a bit in the hall, and we're believing that he will be moved back to Stuart, hopefully this coming week. And I thank you all for keeping him in prayer. And we will be teaching today out of the book that he started writing back in the 80s, and he's added to it over the years, and many of you have it, and it's called God's Prophetic Calendar, Prophetic Pictures of the Messiah as Revealed in the Feasts of the Lord. Amen. And these are the Feasts of the Lord. Many people think they're the Feasts of just the Jews, but we're all grafted in, and it's the Feasts of the Lord. So I'm blessed to have, I'll mention the phone number in case you would like to order this book. It's only $25 plus shipping and handling. And the phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. So I pray that you will be blessed by this study. And we're blessed to have Bill, who's been studying this book for quite a few years. And he's kind of really gone through it and torn into it and digs here and digs there. Well, you know, Pastor Gene, he loves the Word of God, and he wants accuracy, and many times he has changed things as the Lord shows us things, you know. And Bill says he's been digging through here looking for, last week he said little things, you know, that might may not be right, because there's so many things here that people may not understand. How can the Passover be related to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? And if only the Jewish people would see this, you know, there, and many of them have, because there's many Messianic congregations that are having Seders this weekend and celebrating with Jews and Gentiles coming together, those who believe in Yeshua, in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen, our Messiah. And so many people are coming together and having Seders together, you know. And so many of our Jewish brothers and sisters have received Yeshua as their Messiah, and they see Him in the Passover and how He has fulfilled every single bit of that Passover, because there are seven feasts of the Lord, and of course right now we're in the spring, and there's four during the springtime. And Bill's going to be talking about this today. I'm just blessed to have you here with us, Bill, and I know you've done some in-depth study, and Pastor Gene has worked diligently on this, and the Lord has shown him a lot of things and revealed to him a lot of things. So he really wants people to look into it and to ask questions, and you know, because we don't all know everything, do we? But we know in part, and God reveals things to us, and as we're just seeking him, if we seek him, he says he'll reveal these secrets to us, because there are mysteries in the Bible, and so many people are surface. They like to surf. Well, a lot of people like to surf on the water, don't they? But there's surface things, but there's deep things in the Bible. So the Bible says deep calls into deep. We need to find the deeper things and the treasures that are hidden in the feast of the Lord. And I'm just going to start off and say one of them that the first one, the burnt offering, is so key, and it was at the door. Well, who is the door? Yeshua is the door, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
It's only through him. It was at the door, at the opening of the tabernacle. And, you know, he fulfilled that burnt offering, and it had to be a free will offering. And that's the kind of word that where the keys in with me is, it's a free will offering. And God's looking. Jesus, he left heaven. Yeshua left heaven and came to earth to become that free will offering that we all might know, that we all might be saved. He gave everything. He gave everything. And when you read that about the free will offering in Leviticus, you can see how everything had to be done according to God's order. And of course, Yeshua fulfilled everything according to God's order. So I'm just blessed to have you, Bill, and to teach this. And we're here to learn and to listen. And I pray that you out there will reap from the teaching and the scriptures, and you may want to get out a pen and pencil. If you're driving your car, you may not want to do that, but you can always call, or you can always listen to this again on WCNO. We're blessed to be on WCNO and the radio station here in Stuart, Florida. So you can always go to the podcast on your internet, and you can listen to this again and again and again, and many other programs that they have that are such a blessing to the body of Christ. Also have Tony Bishop with us. Blessings, Tony.
Thank you.
He came and saw Pastor Gene on Thursday, and he was looking pretty good, wasn't he?
Yes, looking very well. He's getting better and better every time I see him.
Amen. Much better. And you saw him today, Bill. Amen.
Yes.
So, praise the Lord.
He has been healed.
He is healed. Amen. We were healed. We are healed. We is healed.
We is healed.
We is healed in the name of Jesus. Well, thank you. And then Bill's wife is Michelle, is here with us, and also Pastor Jonathan McLean. So praise the Lord. Okay, Bill, I'm going to turn this over to you and just go for it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Donna. Pastor Donna. Welcome to all, and a good Friday to those of you who celebrate Good Friday. Because it is a Good Friday.
Yes, indeed.
Now, in that vein right there, if you turn to the book, and I hope you have a copy now of Gene's book, it discusses Friday as the date of the crucifixion. It's a fascinating study. I would really like to have you read through that. And I want to repeat that someone just said to me, they started to go through this book, and they realized how incredibly detailed and deep it really goes. So I have the impression that I'm not supposed to rush through this, because this is God's word. He wants you to understand it, and he wants you to challenge it. Because if you challenge God's word and ask him for answers, he will give them to you. He will give them to you. There are a few mysteries that people just can't seem to come to a conclusion about. But that has nothing to do with appreciating God's word and loving it for what the promises he gives to us are. Gene wanted me to mention that he did not write this book. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. And that is a tremendous honor in and of itself. To have the Holy Spirit hover over you for all those years, give you all this information, and help you put it together is an enormous blessing. So he wanted me to mention that. So let's continue with this study using the book as our basis, as Christ as our Passover, because that's what it's about. The Passover changed from the Jewish hands to the hands of the Christians. We're starting on page 9, and if you go to page 9, it's a quick review and an overview of the feasts, because as Pastor Donner said, this is repeating itself. God is giving us a pattern to follow, and that pattern is very, very important. And when Gene returns and goes through this book, you'll see some of the conclusions, important conclusions that can be drawn from just studying the feast themselves. So we were looking at Leviticus chapter 23, and it defines in there what a feast is. It's a set time, an appointment that you are to follow. It follows the calendar that is in the back of this book, the circular calendar that will give you an enormous amount of insight into how these festivals fit together, the time and the overlap of these festivals. So if you look at the bottom of that page, you'll see that there are 7 festivals, high Sabbaths, and that's where some of the confusion comes in. There are regular Sabbaths and there are high Sabbaths. So in a given week, and the crucifixion week is one example, there can be 2 Sabbaths.
Right.
And when you look for this timing and when you want to see this pattern, you can't skip over stuff like that. For the Jews, there were multiple Sabbaths on certain weeks. And the 8th one, of course, is the regular worship day, the regular Sabbath day. So we need to rejoice in the Torah. That hasn't gone anyplace. We are under the Holy Spirit, not the law per se. The law is there to point us to Jesus Christ as our Savior, because we can't possibly keep that law. And I'm a firm believer that the Torah will be used in the millennial reign. He will use that. It hasn't gone anyplace, isn't going to disappear. So we will see it again when we all get a chance to work with Christ one-on-one during the millennial reign. So if we go to page 11, skipping over 10, which was about the date, the actual date of the crucifixion, we look at the Passover theme. The theme commemorates the time when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and God redeemed them from Pharaoh. I think we mentioned last week that Pharaoh was their owner. They had to be set free from Pharaoh in order for that redemption to occur. We must also understand that the Passover and all the appointed times speak of historical events, agricultural times, themes, and future events. Agricultural themes obviously were used at a time when we didn't have iPhones, computers. If Christ was here now, he may use different examples to carry out what his word is, to present his word. Therefore, as we begin our study into these appointed times, it will be revealed time and time again the themes that each of the appointed times present and represent. Even Yeshua himself spoke in parables about times, farmers, weddings, and many natural things. These were to reveal to spiritual ears the spiritual truths that he conveyed to the listeners. He conveyed them. We have trouble understanding them. He wasn't making any errors. He wasn't vague. We just want to put in a lot of outside stuff, and sometimes seems we want to deliberately confuse ourselves about what the word actually says. And as Gene has done and many other excellent theologians have done, there's a lot of misinterpretation as we make a new type of Bible, a new kind. We seem to change the words to the point where they've lost an important meaning. So we lose a sentence. We lose the true meaning of a verse. Please do not fall into that trap. There are meanings, correct meanings for these interpretations. There aren't 10 different meanings for a verse. So if you remember that this Passover season is called the former or early rain. This was, of course, during the barley harvest time. Therefore, and that's the point of this whole study, prophetically, Passover reveals the foreshadow of Yeshua's first coming to this earth. Everything that will be examined will teach and instruct us about the Messiah's first arrival here. In the last session, we began to look at God's appointed times as revealed in the seven high Sabbaths we just mentioned on the previous page. God chose three of these appointed times that he required all the males to come to his appointed place, Jerusalem. Here they are, those three, with their significance. And you can check, and you should check. Don't take any man's word for it. Check Deuteronomy 16 through 7, Exodus 23, 14 through 17, to see that it was those appointed times in Jerusalem. And you'll notice, if you're on page 11, if you're fortunate to have the book, you will see these three times, and then Exodus, and then 1 Peter, as a contrast from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And as I mentioned, and I want to emphasize again, when you read the Bible, it's God's Word. It's the God of the universe who created every single thing you see around you. Now, we would take some of his creation and make it into stuff that's useful for us. But during that creation, he took that energy and made it into mass. Now, the fascinating thing about that is, whether you believe in the Big Bang or not, the Big Bang theory, as presented by physicists, has confused many physicists. And the reason for that is because they've come to the conclusion that, yeah, it started as something. It didn't start as nothing. It started as something and created something. And if you go back and read Genesis carefully, that's exactly what it says. That's exactly what it says. So physics is proving the Bible. And we have a lot of physicists running around a little on the nervous side, because the deeper they get, the closer they're getting to God's word, which is a good thing. So in Exodus 12:23, it reads, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in onto your houses to smite you." The word destroyer, of course, implies the fact that the Lord sent an angel. Some people, some interpretations say it was God himself, to carry out this task. The only protection that we have from this judgment is the cross of Christ. That's the only and final protection that we have. And if you go to Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 1, and verses 18 and 19. You can see that 18 and 19 are about redemption and about the cross. A beautiful contrast with what we just read in Exodus. And 18 reads, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold," and this, of course, presents the fact that the most precious commodities could not redeem fallen man, "from your vain conversation, your vain lifestyles, received by tradition from your fathers. Speaking, of course, of original sin that is passed from father to child. But in 19, with the precious blood of Christ, presents the payment which proclaims the poured out life of Christ on behalf of sinners, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Speaking of lambs offered as substitutes in the Old Testament, the Jewish old economy, the death of Christ was not an execution or an assassination, but rather the perfect sacrifice. The offering of himself presented a perfect sacrifice, for he was perfect in every respect. And then, of course, we go to the Feast of Weeks, and we go back to Exodus 19. And in Exodus 19, looking at 16 through 19, this deals and presents the Feast of Weeks. And in 16 it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled, and rightly so. And 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount." God, of course, being unapproachable, literally, physically. In fact, he wanted man to approach, but due to the sinfulness of man, this at the time was the best that could be done. And in 18 we read, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." All of this, of course, proclaims the awesome holiness of God Almighty. What a mighty God we really do serve.
Indeed we do.
Amen. And 19, "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice." That could be translated, "And God kept answering him by a voice." And this would explain how the following chapters were given to Moses as a verbal, as an audio instruction. And if you go to Acts, and it's chapter 2 and 1 through 4. So we move from the blood covering in Passover to the coming of the Holy Ghost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. That is an enormous step forward for anybody and anybody who accepts Christ, because you get the Holy Spirit. That is the deal of all deals. And in chapter 2, 1 through 4, we have, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," that we're talking now, of course, the Feast of Pentecost, one of the seven great feasts ordained by God and practiced by Israel yearly. It took place 50 days, a little jubilee there, after Passover. "They were all with one accord in one place." This was not the upper room, but rather the temple. You can check this in Luke 24:53 and Acts 2:46. And 2 says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." This is the coming of the Holy Spirit. "And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." Can you just imagine being there? That must have been just, give you goosebumps huge goosebumps. That must have been an exciting thing to watch. And it sat upon each of them, referring to all who were there. It was not just the 12 apostles, but I don't know of any exact number that has ever been given. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. There is some question, of course, about is tongues still in effect today? I know an awful lot of people who speak in tongues, and it is of tremendous benefit to them. Tongues hasn't, in my opinion, gone any place at all. It is still a gift from the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit gave them utterance, meaning that they did not initiate this themselves, but it was initiated by the Holy Spirit. As we shall see, these were languages known somewhere in the world, but not by the speaker. So that's the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we move to tabernacles. And this is going to show us in Leviticus 23 and John how we are a tabernacle of God. So let's go to Leviticus. And in 11, verses 39 through 44, I hope, and I know at least the vast majority, if you're a newcomer, I hope you to see how this just fits together beautifully. There are no spaces. There's no emptiness here. There's no, oops, I forgot to put that. I forgot to include that. It fits just, it's just beautiful. There's no other description for it. So in 39, it says, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, and remember that God changed the calendar to start Nisan as the first month. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And when you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you will rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. 41 reads, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations, and you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. That would be, of course, October. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All who are Israelites born shall dwell in the booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In a sense, of course, this reminds them of their wilderness wanderings, an unfortunate choice that they made. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Now, if you go to, in contrast, in connection, in conjunction with, we go to John. And we see in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, referring to the incarnation, God becoming man, and dwelt among us. You just need to stop and think about that for a minute. That God is so powerful, so, for scientists, so incredibly intelligent, he can take whatever that stuff is out there, whatever that spirit is that God is made of, and turn it into flesh and have it come to earth and live here. That should not be taken too lightly. That's quite a big deal. Quite a big deal, and dwelt among us. Thank you for that. and we upheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This, of course, speaks of his deity. Although hidden from the eyes of the merely curious, while Christ laid aside the expression of his deity, he never lost the possession of his deity. Full of grace and truth, as flesh proclaimed his humanity, grace and truth his deity. That makes us a tabernacle of God, to God. And we are filled again with the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at Passover, the story of Passover, the Exodus, getting out of Egypt. And a lot of these passages that we've been speaking about really need to be read alone in quiet when you have time to absorb them. There's a lot of them. And the book does a great job of virtually documenting every single thing that's said here. There aren't really any personal opinions here. It is very well documented. So Moses was to ask of Pharaoh to allow God's people to go into the wilderness for 3 days to sacrifice unto their God. 3 days. These 3 days were very significant for Israel and prophetically for the church as well. Let's take a quick look at 8 aspects related to these involved inside these 3 days, the connections. First, this was the length of time Yeshua was in his tomb. Secondly, Pharaoh's ownership was broken over God's people when he finally allowed them to go 3 days' journey. His mistake. For the purpose of holding a feast unto the Lord. And you can see how that's cited in Exodus 5. The third one, Pharaoh hardened his heart. That was his choice. God knew what he was doing, but it was still Pharaoh's choice to harden his heart. Mm-hmm. He did not want to turn to God. So he hardened his heart against God's word. That is, by the way, is a picture of Satan, exactly what Satan did. And unfortunately for many humans, that's what they do. They choose to harden their heart. And we can say, thank you, God, for making my heart reasonably hard, not so hard, reasonably soft.
Soft, amen.
Yeah, just a little softer than hard. So after 3 days, Pharaoh chose to go after Israel. If Pharaoh had kept his word to God, Moses would have been obligated to return to Egypt after those 3 days. And why? Because God cannot lie. Just cannot lie. Pharaoh transgressed his own commandment of telling Israel that they could go these 3 days, and then he changed his mind. Once you make a covenant with God, don't change your mind, because for us Christians, there's going to be some discipline involved. And I've experienced some of that, and that discipline is not any fun at all. So don't change your mind. Live to your commitment the best you possibly can. So therefore, since he changed his mind and decided to pursue God's people, he's responsible for his own death. Pharaoh did die in the reed or Red Sea. He didn't make it. So this is the overthrow of Pharaoh. And I went and checked that because I didn't remember that Psalm 136 makes it very clear that all the Egyptians that pursued Moses and the Israelites,
everyone,
they all died.
Every one of them died.
Yeah.
Right. And it, you remember, I just want to add one little thing. You know, a lot of people don't think the Pharaoh died because of the movie. There was a movie. The movie shows Pharaoh standing on the, other side of the sea watching all this going on. You know, but that's right there is a lie in the movie, because people believe what they see many times more than what they read. That's why we need to know the Word of God, and we need to read the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead.
No, that's, thank you. I forgot that. I do remember him standing
there.
And
we represent these plagues during the Passover with that cup of plagues when they sip the juice and they dip their finger in it and flick it outwardly, reciting all the plagues. So they go through all of them in the entire Passover Seder, where we talk about the rivers becoming blood, the sores on the body, the hailstones, the frogs, the darkness, the locusts, the lice, the wild beast, the death of the cattle, and the death of firstborn. So they dip their finger every time to represent that at the feast.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, so you can check that in Psalm 136, 15. So why did the Israelites ask for those 3 days to go into the wilderness? Because Moses was afraid of the Egyptians. Knowing that sacrificing a lamb was an abomination to the Egyptians, he did not want to anger Pharaoh. If you put yourself in the place of the Israelites at the time, they had been badly abused. They were slaves. They were not treated very nicely 99.9% of the time. So it makes you cower in the face of this kind of power. Sad to say, but true. So that puts fear in your heart. As Christians, we should never allow that fear to come into our heart, although me personally, it pops up every once in a while. So the key thing to remember here is that ownership was broken. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh no longer owned the Israelites. And if you go to...
Let me just say this about fear. Fear is a spirit, and the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. So power and love and a sound mind,
right.
Correct. So as God's people, we have no need to fear anything or anyone, because God has not given us that spirit.
But that spirit does try to attack us.
Oh yeah.
And so we have to be wise. We need to have discernment.
Yes, I experience fear. I must admit that. I wish I could overcome that, but it reminds me of when I was a little kid and I had a big giant basement, and the basement was finished, but it made funny noises every once in a while when the burner, you know, the furnace went off. So as a kid, we only had a light switch at the top of the stairs. So you had to turn the lights on and off at the top of the stairs. So when you were leaving and going up the steps, you always wanted to look behind you. Because watching horror movies as a child, you always thought, oops, what might be there? Now I've overcome that, but not some of the other fears.
And you know, in Proverbs 12:25, it talks about heaviness. In fact, Pastor Donna, I think this was one of the verses that I felt really led on my heart to send you this week, where, you know, we consider heaviness, sorrow, grief, the fear, pity, and our emotions affect our physical body. And the verse is, heaviness in the heart makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. And I think that, you know, we underestimate fear. We underestimate the heaviness it brings upon us and how it does affect us every day.
There is a spirit of heaviness, but, you know, hallelujah.
We have a better.
we have the answer, amen?
We do,
one
right?
One thing is, you know, Moses was afraid a lot, really. He was even afraid when he went back into Egypt.
Yes.
To do the things God had called him to do, you know, even to go before Pharaoh and talk to him each time that there was a plague that happened in Egypt. But because of this ownership, see, they had, when they went in there, and of course they had it was good when Joseph was there, you know, and they had a good Pharaoh. But now, after all these years, they have a terrible Pharaoh, and they hated shepherds. Anyone that had anything to do with animals, they thought they were like the worst of, you know. They were even taking care of Pharaoh's shepherds, the Pharaoh's animals. But so that power, like you were saying, that power had to be broken, and because they were really the ownership of Pharaoh in Egypt. So it was broken when Pharaoh died, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Transferred, broken, completely broken.
Destroyed. Mm-hmm. They were free. Pharaoh had to die.
Pharaoh did die.
And he's a picture of Satan. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, he has.
Yes.
Praise God. He died. They're free.
Christ has overcome Satan, but unfortunately, he's still wandering around down here. So Christ has to return a second time to finish wiping out Satan, put him in his correct place.
But on the other side, God has given us power and authority.
Yes.
In the name of the name of Jesus.
Yes.
To overcome these things, these fears, and if these troubles that we have, this life that we have to go through, because there's so many, many, many things besides fear that we overcome. But we overcome by what?
The blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb.
Else?
And the word of the testimony.
The word of our testimony.
That's right.
And the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead.
All right, so to sum up that page about the Exodus, we go to Exodus 14, 26, and 27 and 28, 26 through 28. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared at about daybreak. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, exactly as the Lord had said, Israel would see these Egyptians no more. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh. And that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Confirming what Psalm says. So a part of Bible study is confirmation. Confirmation. Make sure that you can back that up before you speak it or make a conclusion about it. So if we go to now page 12, if you are fortunate to have the book, we're going to very briefly review God's calendar. And if you go back to chart one, you can flip back and forth. What I did was go on the copy machine, copy the charts in the back, particularly chart one, because it's hard to flip back and forth, and we'll see you how show you how they fit together very, very well. So remember that in Exodus 12:2, God changed the month of Nisan number from 7 on the civil calendar to number 1 on the spiritual prophetic calendar. You can see that also in chart 2. Therefore, the month of Nisan at the moment became the beginning of the year instead of the month of Tishri. This is revealing God's purpose for Israel to have a new spiritual birthday, which is in the month of Nisan. When the ownership of Pharaoh was broken, Israel had a new birth. And now this 1 Corinthians is an absolutely fascinating part of the Bible. We can go to chapter 10 and read 1 through 4. Now, this is a real good example of what I've been trying to say, that as I was reading this, I think Pastor Gene sometimes took for granted how deep this really goes. So, in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. This means that the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to be ignorant about these truths. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, presence of God, which led Israel, and all passed through the sea, the Reed Sea, not losing one during that sea event, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Of course, that's a type of water baptism. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, speaking of the manna, and did all drink the same spiritual drink of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
Awesome.
That is an unbelievably powerful statement. That's the kind of thing that you have to read four or five times. We're referring there in four to the smitten rock. Mm-hmm. Smitten rock. Check it in Exodus 17, 6, Numbers 20, 11, Psalm 78, verse 15. For they drank. They were literally drinking, implying a continuous gift. And here's the fascinating part, and this is where we go back over and over and over to the fact that we have been robbed of our Jewish roots.
Amen.
Christianity was built on those Jewish roots.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who makes the argument that the Jewish roots are no longer valid or that virtually all of them have disappeared is not telling you the truth. They're not even close. Now, how in the world can you picture, how can you demonstrate that there was a rock that followed these people around? Was it walking? Was it rolling? Was it elevated above the ground? That, from a scientist's point of view, is a fascinating subject. But believe it or not, there's some real strong outside the Bible evidence that that's exactly what went on. If you go to page 468 of the Jewish New Testament commentary by David Stern, one of the best commentators when it comes to approaching it from a Jewish point of view to connect those roots to Christianity, none of those roots were broken. You really see the argument that is made. And let me read one thing. This is exciting to me, so please be patient. And it says on page 469, discussing this particular subject presented in verse 4, and it says, the rock followed them. According to the Agadah, this is the legendary and Midrashic material woven about in the Tanakh. The children of Israel were accompanied in the desert by a rolling stone that poured forth water.
Mm.
So that's the ancient Jewish belief. That's a powerful connection. The people, like Rashi, who wrote commentaries on the Old Testament had amazing insight, obviously given to them by God. If you go all the way back to Genesis and look at how the Hebrew was misinterpreted over and over and over again, it was mistranslated. And if you go to somebody who knows the Old Hebrew, they'll tell you, it's mistranslated in virtually every English translation. It was mistranslated in the Greek. And these are Jewish scholars.
Yeah.
They're Hebrew scholars, and they say, you guys got it wrong. I don't know why you keep mistranslating it. Well, anyway, that's didn't mean to get too sidetracked there. But that's exciting stuff, because without the correct translation, you started in Genesis with the incorrect interpretation of God's word. That's scary, because you don't know who God really is. We have a misconception. Jesus is not a masculine Tinkerbell. He is the God of the universe, and he should be respected and treated that way. And fortunately for us, he loves us.
Mm.
That's the important connection.
Yeah.
So anyway, I find that fascinating in Corinthians chapter 10.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
While you're turning on, you know, it says in 1 John 4:19 that, you know, we love him because he first loved us, right?
Yes.
And in John 15:16 it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." So everyone is an ordained minister as a Christian, that we should go out to reach the world. So that just proves his love on us, what he's given us. Yes?
Yeah, that's Amen. The point of the whole Bible.
Yes.
Is salvation. If you had to Absolutely. Sum it all up, it's the story of Jesus, Yeshua, mm-hmm. and his love for you, and he wants you to come to him. That's all he's
Amen.
Asking you.
Yes. Amen.
Come
yes.
to
yes.
me.
Yes.
And everything will work out mm-hmm. in the long run perfectly for you.
I don't know exactly how much time we have left. I don't know if this clock is right or not. But I just want to think, because this is Resurrection Weekend, and I just kind of want to, I know that we have so much here, Pastor Genus has in this book, and I know Bill has a lot more to share. But, you know, we are in this time, and Passover started on Nisan 14. Yeshua died on Nisan 14. Mm-hmm. He fulfilled that part of Passover, and he resurrected on Nisan 17, which is 3 days later. And so, and also, you also mentioned that we have the Saturday Sabbath, but during that week there was a high Sabbath, and that's where a lot of people get a confusion with the mm-hmm. days. And you know, it was 3 days, was it 2 days? I mean, from Friday to Sunday, it's not 3 days. So he was in the grave for 3 full days, I believe, in 3 full nights, as the Bible says, just as it says in the Passover. So he fulfilled that. You know, he died on Nisan 14. He came into Jerusalem on Nisan 10, and he rode in on Jerusalem. What? How did he come in? Just as the Bible says he would come in. He talks about the animal, the foal of the animal, and the ass or the donkey, they call it. And so he came in there, and he was there. That's when he was asked his toughest questions at the temple area. You know, many questions. That's when he turned over, I believe, the table of all the money and people that were selling mm-hmm. things there. You know, and doing things that were wrong. In the temple, you know, a lot of people do things wrong in the church. You think about it. A lot of things are done in the wrong in the church. I've seen businesses being done in the church. That's totally out of order. The church is not a place to come and look for customers or do business. No, it's a place to come and worship God and know God's word, learn God's word, worship him, pray together, have fellowship with one another. I know you have something there, Tony, to share. But, you know, we're coming. This is the time that we honor the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. And like you said, you know, in the beginning was the Word. It says that in John 1. He mm-hmm. is the Word. Talks about the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And mm-hmm. you read 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. And then I like what it says in verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, this Resurrection Day. If you don't know the Lord, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart, because he's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to the Father. And he is God. He is God. And he has fulfilled every single thing that's talked about in the Passover. And Tony, you have something to say there?
It's so important that we don't get caught up in traditions.
That's right.
In the world, nor in the church. But we need to understand that the beautiful thing is that Christ is the reason for this season. He's the reason for all seasons. Mm-hmm. And as believers, we believe him according to his word by faith. Jesus said that he was in the belly of the whale, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man. So we need not get caught up in all of this, well, whether it's actually 2 days or 3 days.
Right.
I just believe what Jesus said.
That's it.
And I just leave it at that. And by faith, I receive him. And that's what we're calling for people to consider, especially during this holiday season.
Come to the Lord. It's the only way.
The only way is right.
Yes. Well, we're down to just a few minutes left. And this is such an important time that you would seek the Lord. You know, many of you know the Lord. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just tuning into this radio broadcast for the first time. And you've heard some things that, you know, stirred you up, or you were questioning some things. Well, you know, the thing is if you talk to the Lord, if you go to the Lord, he's gonna reveal these things to us. And so we just need to ask Jesus to come into our heart, you know. And Tony, you want to just pray a prayer and ask people to?
Indeed.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, into the world, that the world might know you, and that through you that we can have salvation and all of the wonderful attributes of salvation, peace and love and joy and purpose and fulfillment. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak to the hearts of those out in radio land this day, and that you would soften their hearts, that they would be receptive to hear your word through faith, and that they would come to you and to receive you and to receive Jesus as their Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
This is our prayer, Lord, we
Amen.
Ask in
Praise
Jesus'
God.
Name.
Praise God. Well, if you'd like to know more about this book or Pastor Gene's Pictures of the Messiah, the Revealing the Prophetic Aspects of the Lord and the Feast of the Lord, you can call area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we just are blessed to be here. If you want to listen to this again, you can go onto the podcast and listen to WCNO. And we just wish you a wonderful Resurrection Day. Go to church, you know, take your family, worship the Lord. It's not about Easter bunnies and eggs and all that. It's about Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior,
Amen.
And the resurrection.
He is
it's
risen.
All about, he is risen. Yes. He's alive. He's not dead. He is alive and he's well. And he's seeking those who will seek him. So we just bless you and we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest, and have a glorious weekend. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.